People Fixing the World is the podcast looking for solutions to the problems we face today.
It could potentially ease the suffering of millions.
We have a solution. Let's do it.
People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service.
Welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, the programme that investigates the creative process.
When children are forced to use their own creativity, fantastic ideas will grow up. Much better ideas than any grown-up designer can come up with when sitting down and trying to design funny play equipment for children.
This is Danish landscape artist Helle Nebelong, a pioneer of the natural playground movement. As the name suggests, natural playgrounds use natural materials rather than brightly coloured plastics. They are designed to encourage creativity and imagination.
Today I'm out on the nature playground in Copenhagen, which I have designed 20 years ago. It's Copenhagen's most visited playground, so there will always be a lot of families out here in the weekend and during the week. Schools, daycare centers, after-school clubs, and families as well, come and visit this playground.
This is clearly one of Helle's favorites of the many playgrounds she's designed.
This playground is so beautiful because it has all the natural elements, all the natural materials. I love the sound when the children, they are running on this bridge made of wood. It's a special sound. It's a beautiful sound. And it wouldn't be the same if it was made of plastic, for instance. But I always love to come out here and I calm down. And if I was stressed when I arrived, I am not anymore.
Helle's work is inspired by the 2 years of her childhood where she had no playgrounds to go to, when she lived on the Faroe Islands, where there was nowhere to play but in nature. It's the sense of freedom and adventure that she discovered there that she tries to bring to the urban playground today. And I wanted to find out how she does it.
This is the turtles. They are walking against the river, and the river is... This one I just fill out with color.
We are following Helle on her new challenge, creating one of America's largest natural playgrounds. It's in Colleen Hoos Elementary School in Normal, Illinois. It's June 2021. The pandemic and lockdown are still with us, and Helle is busy drawing her designs for the playground. We eavesdrop online as she works on her sketches at home in Copenhagen.
Well, I'm sitting in my office, which is located in the north of Copenhagen. And it's also located in my home. I work from my home and I have no staff. I'm only by myself. And my husband, he helps me in my company and he colors all my drawings in hand. And I do all drawings in hand as well. We don't use computer. What you see now in the background is actually my drawing table. And that gives me some problems because when I am designing a huge space like this one in the school in Illinois, I need to, you know, do a first an overall sketch of the whole space. So we actually bought a new drawing table for this project, which is located in our sitting room and where my husband is right now sitting and coloring some of the drawings.
It's a huge undertaking, as the playground has many features, including an alphabet labyrinth and snail-shaped mound. And the drawing in front of her is the design for one of the key parts of the natural playground, a river that's not a river.
We had an involving process where we asked the teachers and staff and the students at the school to come up with ideas for the natural playground and send to me. I call it a river. There's no water in this river, but it will be transformed into a mosaic with a lot of rainbow fish. Actually, I would love if I could make a river with 450 rainbow fish, because there are 450 students at the Kolinhus Elementary School. So I wanted to picture every one of them and make 450 different rainbow fishes that swim in all directions, and shows that all children are unique. No children are standardized. So all these 450 children, they should have, each one of them should have their own fish. Ideally, I would love the children to make a drawing of their own fish. That is actually a thought I just got right now. So maybe I should try to find out if it could work.
The fish are not the only creatures that will inhabit the playground.
There will be a space with sand, and in that space there will be a turtle family built by boulders and have red shells. What's so funny, seeing children playing in a natural playscape where there's hardly any fixed equipment, they are forced to use their own imagination and find out how can we play here. When children are forced to use their own creativity, fantastic ideas will grow up.
And this is a key point for Hella, that the whole project has to be led by the children.
They teach me what to do. And I think, you know, it's often a grown-up approach to play that is a mistake, because lots of designers that design stuff for children, they think that, wow, now I shall make some very funny stuff, because children, they like fun and it should be colorful. And I don't think that they have really watched children playing. They invent a lot of new things that I can learn a lot about.
And with that, she starts to work on a design for the natural playground while telling me what she's doing.
Right now, I'm sitting here sketching on the shape of this island that is located in a huge sand area. And it is combined to the mainland of the playground with little bridges. There are at least three bridges into this center of the playground that will be the most spectacular, and I know it will be the most popular place of this playground. Right now, sitting drawing on this, and I will do this for hours before it will turn into a shape that I am satisfied with, and so I can really use a lot of paper. A lot of thoughts come to my mind, and new ideas develop, and maybe also new ideas for other spaces in this playground.
Then Hella realizes she might have been a bit too ambitious with the number of mosaics that could fit into the make-believe river.
I don't know at this time if there are room for 450 fish. It's quite a lot. And I have to talk to a mosaic artist who can tell me how small you can make the fish so that they still look like rainbow fish, you know.
And it's time to reveal on the webcam what she's been working on.
I'm quite pleased with what I have made today.
So that drawing, that blue flower shape, that's the river. And then inside the river with the boulders, is that the sand?
The sand is this space outside.
Oh, outside the river bit.
I'll just try to show you this. I also put a new layer on it. Can you see? The red bridges. The bridges are the red ones. This is the turtles that comes in the sand space. And here's the starfish that will be filled with smaller stones. The most important element, the Rainbow River mosaic, looks not quite well yet. So I will have to work much more on that before I get satisfied with this. That's how it is. It's not that easy.
Take taking a break from drawing and designing, Hella goes for a walk in a local forest with her partner, Tim, who helps her out by adding colour to her drawings.
So now are you ready to colour the Rainbow River Garden?
Yes, I am. I'm almost becoming a fish myself. Already blue.
Yeah. But that is a very exciting project. And we will make some workshops with the children so that they can draw their own fish, their own rainbow fish.
And learn to swim.
And then the mosaic artist, Robin Briceford, she will get all the drawings to get inspiration for the final design of this river.
Mm.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice that we can go down to this little forest and just sit here and get all the green views into our minds.
Yeah. But don't you think that a little bit melancholy is being mixed in this splendid view that we have here? Because you can't help thinking that it might be gone soon because of the climate changes and the dangers that we are facing. For a couple of years ago, we had a very awful drought that made it dangerous for people to be in, for example, a wood, because it could go up in flames in no time, like powder exploding.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have a very warm period now for the season, and it makes me think, at least, that it could be the same development again with drought and the possibility of fire.
I'm glad I'm not thinking of that every day,
no.
And I don't really fear it, but of course it
is. But we have to think about it on behalf of our children.
Yeah.
And they will have to fight it in a much more vigorous way than we are thinking about environmental issues.
Hopefully the new natural playground at Kolinhus Elementary School could be a turning point and help
changing. Yes, in the U.S.
Yeah.
I think so.
Hella is not the only artist working on the project. As she said, the Californian artist Robin Brailsford is making the fish mosaics that will be designed by the school children.
Hi, Hella.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What about you?
Good. It's been a long time since we've been face to face. How are your holidays?
Yeah, it was really good. I really needed to relax, so I relaxed, I think, for 2 weeks. It was wonderful.
And once the formalities are over, it's straight down to the main subject, the fish.
So, and as I said, it should not be naturalistic fish. It should be the children's imaginations that you transform into a design that works for you as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And you can sort of see that I was going in that direction because we all know that kids that age are absolutely the most creative on the planet.
Yeah.
And to limit them in any way, it seems, you know, to be no reason to do it. And because we're making each fish individually one at a time anyway, there's absolutely no benefit for a template, and their fish are just going to be so much more interesting than anything we could come up with. What we will do is sort of fill in the gaps. You know, we'll take a drawing that might be very rough or is just an outline or something, and we'll, you know, take it to the next level to work as a mosaic. Because another thing I think we probably agree on is that this is a project for the ages, and it needs to look fantastic for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And so we need to make sure that the level of everything is as high as we can make it be.
Yeah, that sounds great. I want this to be very simple, and I don't want the children to look at images of real natural fish, because then it might disturb them in their own free creativity.
You've heard of Charlie Chaplin, right? Well, Charlie Chaplin was my grandfather, and there was a time when he was the biggest star in all the world. But something happened, not just to him, but to hundreds of artists in Hollywood. They were forced to leave, forced out.
All episodes of Hollywood Exiles from the BBC World Service and CBC are available now. Search for Hollywood Exiles wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. The next time we hear from Hella, she's in Colleen Hoos Elementary School in Normal, Illinois, where she sees her work come to life.
You're standing in your original drawing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So how does it feel for you to be standing?
It feels so good.
For the first time, she meets Adam Bienstock in person. His company is building the playground.
And you see Robin Brightford, who has transformed the children's drawings into this mosaic. She has a personal relationship to all the fish and know exactly what who did that one. And you know.
So we could do a video of this whole thing and then have Robin do the voiceover. Video so she could talk about each fish. I mean, I love the little story. So she does storylines. Yeah. So if you look at this one, that's Hella's fish. And it's the Danish colors of the Danish flag.
You see?
And it's speaking to the USA fish.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of these little moments that she's playing with as you move through.
And also I have to say that my five grandchildren, four of my five grandchildren have also participated. And this is Buster, my young, he's five, 6 years old. He has made this tree fish.
Wow.
That he did.
Yes.
So, but they are all individual and they are all unique. Do you like it?
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. What about you? You love it?
I love it.
But Hella doesn't love everything, it turns out.
I think it should not be too much.
Yeah.
We will talk with Nick today about the entrances. I want them to be, you know, more natural portals.
Runs out.
Okay, yeah.
That's why that's existing.
Yeah, you're the boss.
So you should not have any more mosaics here.
Okay.
So you want to walk to the top of the...
Yeah, let's go to the top of the spiral. And also what is very important for me, it is to say that we had in the beginning of the process the meeting with the students, and they came up with a lot of ideas that were sent to me. And I would say the design is a mixture of all their ideas. So I hope, and I really think that the students, when they come out here, they will say, oh, this was my idea, you know.
And I think you're right.
Yeah.
They'll enjoy that.
Yeah, indeed. And also what is important, if you are a wheelchair user, you can come up here and feel that you are on the top.
Right.
And you are not always the person who people are looking down on.
Right.
You can come up here and you can look down and feel that you're king of the top.
Do you want to talk and walk at the same time?
Yeah.
Let's go to the maze.
We can cut across if you guys are good with it, but I'm looking at your sandals and I'm not sure the Perkins. Are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
I
promise. I'm good.
And in their inappropriate footwear, they go to see the fish.
Yeah, I have a favorite that I picked out early.
Which one is that?
It's the one that's sort of Klimt-esque that's on the other side over there that we pointed to.
Let's
with
see.
With the greens and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one near the signature, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that one.
That's my fish.
This is one you did.
Yeah.
Talking to the USA fish.
Yeah.
Did you see the conversation?
Yeah, that's great.
I thought it was important that, you know, the dialogue be there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you have the little Danish flags.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah, and this is...
a really hard one to do because you had so much tiny detail in it.
Yeah, I know. I should...
This is Buster's right here.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's really hard if I ask him... Is it a fish? Yes, it is a fish. Can't you see that? You know, he's really getting angry with me if
Fair
I say
enough.
Things like that. I think they are very beautiful.
Joining them on the journey to the top of the playground is the head of the school, Gina Tanuta.
Before you leave the meeting, Gina,
yes.
You are the new principal. What part of the playground do you think would be your favorite place?
for me personally, I like the setup with the different game boards over there for children to explore and play. I think a lot of what we teach here at the elementary level is being collaborative and working well together, and I think those will provide a really good place to coach and help the children understand that. I'm really excited about all of it. I think the students are going to love it, and I'm excited to see the teachers get creative in how they use the space and allow students to explore and learn.
Yeah.
The mosaic fish are only one part of the natural playground. As the name suggests, plants play a vital part in the design. But getting the right plant is trickier than you might imagine, as Hella finds out on a visit to the nursery.
This is my original plan for the plantings of the river garden, and I don't know, have you got any of these species?
No, so this is part of the grouping that we need to talk about. When I said the second phase planting, like not like another year, but this year in the budget that we have left.
And are there some of them that be evergreen? Be good, so it would be covered during the whole year.
You're not going to get evergreen to survive here.
Oh.
Not a chance.
Okay.
No, it'll die. So it's too cold. The problem is, like, our temperatures here are going to go down to below the threshold for the evergreens. So more temperate than this. We're about a zone and a half off for the evergreen.
I won't insist in planting plants that won't grow here.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of money and effort to get something that's not going to work.
Sounds good. And what about this one?
Buckthorn. You're not going to have... So the problem with buckthorn is the needles on them are going to be a problem for the school.
It's a sensory experience.
You and I agree. But it's the length of those and how sharp they are. There isn't training amongst a group of kids here in all of these varieties and how to respect those plantings. So every time, from a risk perspective, I look at these things, which is really disappointing and not my experience and not what I want for these kids. But from a risk perspective, I have to think, what is going to be at the height of their face and their eyes, and how fast are they running through? Always.
Yeah.
And so buckthorn is one of those ones that is going to have those nice long tines, and it's going to be right at the height of their heads as they run through, and they're going to run through. Until we get the school and the teachers and everybody on board, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we get there in another way. So I think of the things that would be thorny, and there is a Rosa rugosa that's very thorny, that is very hardy, that will take the sun but isn't going to poke their eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
Or not that this will poke their eyes out, but isn't going to give them a deep scratch. Do you hate me yet, or is this okay?
No. I want you to say exactly what you are saying.
Okay.
At this time, because you shall not come afterwards and say, oh, I regret that I didn't say no.
Right. And I don't, I think there's also...
One problem is what the plants might do to the kids. The other is what the kids might do to the plants.
It's not a problem to make this... ground covers.
It's going to be a problem in the patterns of behavior of the kids.
Yeah.
So on the perimeter where we're talking about the wildflowers, I'm less worried because it's far enough back. But where we're talking about putting them in swaths closer to the school and on the ground, that's where we're going to struggle with the people stomping them.
Yeah.
And so, we can rope them off, but then at what point is roping them off counter the efforts that you're trying to make?
What do you think we should do then?
I'm more inclined to do woodier shrubs that don't die if they on the first step.
Yeah.
So because one kid goes wrong and I have a whole swath of these, and that's where I struggle.
You can come up with alternatives.
Yeah, I would go...
I have just, chosen these different because I was thinking of blooming in different seasons.
Absolutely. And the anemone is just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is.
And we can still do the anemone. We may not want to do it at ground level next to grass. So where they have lawn, and then next to that lawn, they're going to be sprinting and not stopping.
Yeah.
And they
Is that a problem?
In the anemones?
Yeah.
It just means that there won't be as many anemones.
Oh, or the grass will grow into the...
No, I'm not worried about the grass growing into it. I'm worried about the behavior on the grass.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm sorry, it's getting very hot here.
Yeah, we should go outside.
So we'll go outside.
Yeah, go ahead.
All those thorny issues are finally resolved. And on the 4th of October, 2023, the playground is officially opened. Amongst the guests is Charlie Jobson, the philanthropist who was brought up in Bloomington Normal and donated over $5 million for the playground to happen. He explained to the schoolchildren and their parents why he'd invested so much personally and financially in the project.
The play park was inspired by my visits to Scandinavia and where I saw playgrounds over the years, and by my nature girl mother, who returned a childlike wonder inside of her until she passed away at the age of 101 a couple of years ago. People really loved my mom, and they all saw that she kept the girl inside of her for all those years, and she made me feel loved too.
And then it's Hella's turn to talk and consider the huge feat of designing one of America's largest natural playgrounds.
It's almost 4 years since Charlie Jobson contacted me first and asked me if I would design a natural playground at the Colleen Hoos Elementary School in Bloomington, Illinois. How could I say no? It has been 4 inspiring and challenging years to get to this point, and it is a great feeling. I will end my speech with a short quote from Jens Jensen. A little meadow covered with flowers over which butterflies play and bees hum is in itself a scene that becomes dearer and dearer as man grows older. Thank you.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. It was presented by me, Poppy Sebag Montefiore, and produced by Stephen Hughes.
You've heard of Charlie Chaplin, right? Well, Charlie Chaplin was my grandfather, and there was a time when he was the biggest star in all the world. But something happened, not just to him, but to hundreds of artists in Hollywood. They were forced to leave, forced out.
All episodes of Hollywood Exiles from the BBC World Service and CBC are available now. Search for Hollywood Exiles wherever you get your podcasts.